Thank you for listening back to the Geekly Chronicles.
This episode was recorded on the 14th of July, 2017.
This version of the show is the same Geekly you know and love, minus all of the bits where we played music.
Since, you know, we like artists to get paid fairly for their work.
If you want to hear this show as you would have heard it live, songs and all, check out our Mixcloud channel at mixcloud.com/GKLYCO.
Enjoy the show.
Hello.
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 Hi. Oh, I sound much more awake than I was earlier.
Do you really now?
Excellent.
Well, hello, hello, and hello. In the week where you can't stand under my umbrella, Ella. Because an umbrella startup in China, an umbrella rental startup, had all 300,000 of its umbrellas stolen.
Wow. That's a lot of umbrellas.
Also, in the week that we got to smell a little more of what The Rock was cooking as he moved a step closer to becoming the next president of the United States.
Wow. Mm. And in the week in which, after a century of dispute, the German alphabet just got a brand new letter.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Mm. How very exciting. In all those weeks, it is the Geekly Chronicles. Welcome.
Welcome to the show. This episode, as ever, we have all your favourite features like Would You Fund It, Kid Politician, and Game of Geeks.
Later on in the show, we'll also be joined by special guest William Hansen as he teaches us how to have a decent picnic, tune into our inner Noel Coward, and help us all navigate Cell Phone Courtesy Month.
And when we say navigate, we mean learn that we shouldn't have our phones on when we lunch with the Queen.
Sorry. Yeah, that's mine.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Get in your requests, tweets, messages, and thoughts. You are fine to use your phones, unless you're driving or out to dinner, of course.
Yeah. Although it would be pretty rude of you to be listening to Geekly if you are out at dinner.
Although that is a level of rudeness we can get behind.
Indeed, yeah. It is. Don't forget, you can join our chat room on gkly.co and chat along with the show, tweet us requests or dedications. And if you're using our fancy new iOS app, you can get in touch with us right from the contact tab.
You can indeed.
Now, I think it's about time we got the show started with something appropriate. We said it was Cell Phone Courtesy Month.
Oh dear.
But
what
hey.
Have you done?
It's like crowdfunding without the funding or the crowd.
Oh, lovely. It's time for, once again, our fictional foray into crowdfunding. Woo! I'm excited about that, largely because I was dancing away to that song. I was really bopping.
It's hard to resist, isn't it?
It's hard to look right at you, baby. But here's my number. It's a 4.
Just a 4.
Just a big giant 4.
Big old 4.
That's my number. My number is just a big old 4.
If you want to phone cares, just dial 4.
But anyway, it's time for Would You Fund It. Every week we take an idea that you, our lovely listeners, have sent in to us and turn it into a pitch. And throughout the show, you get to vote on whether or not you would fund it.
Yes, you do. This week's Would You Fund It suggestion was sent in by Pip, who said, what about a regular four-finger Kit Kat? What about a regular four-finger Kit Kat, but with an extra half-length, double-thick extra finger, which is actually a thumb? So it's four fingers and a thumb.
Like a
hand.
A hand.
I don't think this is going to be a tough product to sell.
I think it's going to be a tough product to package, though.
Mm,
let's hear the pitch. Oh, that was a real treat. I don't have chocolate bars very often.
Yeah, although I often feel a bit let down by the fact that there's only 4 bits. I mean, I love Kit Kats, but seriously, it's not quite enough to fill a hole.
Yeah, and I'm always torn between one of those chunky ones and one of those...
Do you wish you had more kit in your cat?
There's that voice again.
A 4 chocolatey fingers, just not satisfying enough.
Oh, it's like you read my mind.
Ever wish you could high-five your chocolate bar before you ate it?
Ever wish you could
Well,
what?
Now you can, with our new Hand of Kit Kat.
Hand? Like a poker game, or...
Or maybe like a...
4 regular chocolatey fingers. Mmm, tasty. But now with a chunky chocolate thumb, too.
Oh, that sounds pretty good, actually.
Don't encourage the advert voice.
Get the satisfaction of having it both thick and thin in one sitting. You no longer have to choose between length or girth. The intense chocolatey hit that only a whole hand can provide.
Ooh, matron.
I am strangely in love with this idea.
High five your high tea favourite and get a hand of Kit Kat into your face holes now.
You know what? I might just do that.
You've only just finished eating that one.
Hey, advert voice. Are they also zero calories?
No. Wow.
Wow. That's a pretty satisfying and delicious suggestion.
I can't think of anything except Kit Kats now.
I wonder if, like, so you were saying that would be difficult to package. I guess you'd have to have some sort of, like, Kit Katty glove.
A Kit Kat glove.
A Kit Kat mitten.
A Kit Mitt.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
A Mitt Cat.
Or a Mitt Cat.
I'm like Yanto Jones. I come up with all the best names. Life.
Yeah. Okay.
Obscure Torchwood references for everyone. There you
indeed.
Go.
Hooray. So it'd be a weird one, but I mean, I could get on board with that. Kit Kat fact, actually.
Oh.
I have a few of these. I did a bit of Kit Kat research.
Well, so did I, but it largely just involved eating Kit Kats.
Yeah,
so.
Me too.
I looked up Kit Kats. Well, first and foremost, has anyone in the room ever had a Kit Kat that is just solid chocolate?
No.
Oh.
Do they happen statistically often?
I don't know if they happen statistically often. That is one fact I couldn't find out. But I had one once about 5 years ago, and it was incredible. But the Kit Kat fact I wanted to share with you tonight was that, you know, Kit Kats. So Kit Kats are three layers of wafer covered in chocolate, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you know what's in between those layers of wafer?
Air. Buckminster Fullerene.
Other chocolate.
Diamonds.
Catherine is closest.
You break your teeth on out a diamond.
Out of carbon-based substances, Catherine is closest. The thing that is between the layers of wafer in a Kit Kat is actually rejected Kit Kats.
That is so meta.
Yep.
But so what? They take all the slightly bent out of shape Kit Kats, grind them up.
Mash them up.
And put them between the wafers.
Exactly.
Okay. In other Kit Kats.
Okay, yep. What I don't get about that is, what did they put between the wafers before they had their first imperfect Kit Kat?
Well, I mean, there are two ways you can... I have absolutely no idea what they actually did, but there are two ways you can believe this. One, the first Kit Kat was a complete failure, and therefore has powered all other Kit Kat innovation since its inception in
maybe that's why it was terrible. The first Kit Kat, they were like, this is rubbish, there's nothing that can go between the wafer layers, but we've made like 10 of these, let's grind them up and try putting them between that, and that's it, that's what did it.
Yeah.
So like, homeopathy wise, we're all eating the first Kit Kat still in every Kit Kat.
Well, it's like that thing that they say that when you take a drink of tap water, it's been through eight other people. A Kit Kat has been through eight other Kit Kats.
Probably been through way more people than that.
Yeah. Been through eight other dinosaurs.
At least eight other people. Yeah. But the Kit Kat was invented... the actual Kit Kat was invented in 1935, but the origins of Kit Kat go back to 1911, when Roundtree's, as in the fruit pastel people, now owned by Nestle, created a box of chocolates and just called it Kit Kat. But then someone...
Why wouldn't you?
Later on, someone invented in 1935 the Roundtree's Chocolate Crisp, which is a Kit Kat. And in 1937, they looked at the name Kit Kat and thought, that works better for the wafery, biscuity thing than the box of chocolatey thing.
Well, of course.
Because that makes sense. And that, in 1937, when that happened, is when they started using the word break in their advertising. So it has officially been 80 years of the word break.
Well, the word break existed, yeah.
In Kit Kat advertising.
I'm still reeling from this kind of meta, we're all still eating the rejected Kit Kat.
Yes, send us your Kit Kat origin stories on Twitter and in the chat room. We would love to hear where you think Kit Kats come from.
Still make a better film than the Wolverine origin stories.
Absolutely. But Kit Kats, also in other Kit Kat facts, Kit Kats are completely different in the US They're made by Hershey's.
They taste awful.
Yes, because potentially controversial opinions. Hershey's chocolate is terrible, but
I don't think anyone's going to disagree with that, except Hershey employees.
Yes, but they've had the license to manufacture Kit Kats in the US since 1970, and Nestle do them everywhere else in the world because Nestle were like, we're not going to need to make these in America, surely, and then they realized Hershey's were so bad at it, and now they can't do anything.
Oh well,
so it's a sad time.
But anyway,
that's all I got on Kit Kats.
You can tell us whether you think that idea is worth voting for.
Yes, you can.
Yeah. Would you fund this?
Do let us know.
Would you like to
tell them how to?
You can head to the website gkly.co/fundit and tell us whether or not you would fund it. The hand of Kit Kat, the weird thumb Kit Kat, or you can vote in our Twitter poll, which we have just tweeted out on our Twitter account at GKLYCO. Let us know. We've had a tweet already about a packaging suggestion from Donna. Hi, Donna, who says a free glove with every hand of Kit Kat.
I like it, but would the glove be chocolatey because it's had the Kit Kat in it?
Said like it's a problem.
But I don't want to put my glove on and just feel chocolate in it. Would you
really? I mean, I do. You put your hand in there and then there's like chocolate, and then you take the glove off and you get to lick the chocolate off your fingers.
It's wouldn't be delicious, very good on a cold day. Practical. So you could individually wrap each little stick of Kit Kat and pop it in the glove.
That would work.
It's like a promotion to launch it.
I like
and,
that.
And also it would get everybody to buy two, because obviously you need two
gloves.
I mean, they could be sort of reversible, so you just have to turn it over so it would go on the other hand.
Oh, I like it.
It wouldn't have to be too sophisticated, a glove.
I like it.
Nice.
Anyway.
You're listening to... Oh, wait, what was it again? Oh, the Geekly Chronicles. And you'd get it in the end.
Hey. Lovely. So Scotland has been in the news again this week as the UK government, who totally got elected fairly and everything, released their Great Repeal Bill, and Scots realised that all of the protections and extra powers they were promised not only didn't exist, but they'd find power being stripped away from them and handed back to London.
Well, that is pretty simplified, but you can see why people might get a bit annoyed.
Yeah, I'm annoyed, and I'm not even Scottish.
Me too. And so it's time for us to turn once again to our pint-sized pundit of politics and peacemaking.
That was a lot of peas.
It was.
There's a lot of spit coming up.
Yes.
Coming across the desk.
Yes. Yep. Anyway, it's time to get Kid Politician's view on the situation and hear what he thinks.
Hi, I'm Kid Politician. Every show I'll be taking a look at the world of politics and giving you my view. I mean, sure, I'm a kid, but aren't all politicians? Today, I want to talk about Scotland. Have you ever been to Scotland? I love kilts, bagpipes, and deep-fried Mars bars. But this whole stuffing meat and sheep's bladder thing is a bit gross. I mean, seriously, who came up with the idea of haggis? You might have noticed that I'm not Scottish. So when it comes to the question of whether or not Scotland should declare independence from the UK, I don't really have the right to decide. Only Scottish people should get to choose what happens to Scotland. I'm only 11, so my knowledge of Scottish politics is about as in-depth as, well, most English politicians. I mean, I only just found out that Nicola Sturgeon isn't actually a fish. But the more I read about her, the cooler I thought she was. Scottish politicians just seem more mature than the ones there in England. Maybe we should just all move there. Everyone always talks about Scotland being known for frying things. I wonder if they have scientists, like frying scientists, that are pushing the boundaries and trying to fry new and interesting things. What about frying liquids? Deep-fried orange juice would just be revolutionary. Like, you'd get one of your five a day and some deep-fried stuff all at the same time. So why should people in London decide what happens to Scotland? That's just like saying people in Australia should have a say over what happens in China, or saying that Donald Trump should decide what happens on the moon. So yeah, I love you, Scotland, but you've got to do what's right for you. I'll still want to give you a big hug, whatever you decide.
Aww. Aww. I like it when Kid Politician talks about giving everyone big hugs.
We need more of that in politics.
We need more of that in politics. And yes.
Indeed.
We all love Scotland.
Seems that way. And also, indeed, loving Fryantists.
I know, yes, right? It's such a great idea.
I mean, if only I'd known about that when I was younger, I think that would have been my career of choice.
You'd have done a degree in Fryantology.
Yes.
Not Fryantology.
Or started a religion called Fryantology.
Fryantology, yeah. Mm-hmm. Based on your frying deep fat levels.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we might need to try and fry something.
Yes,
during the course of tonight's show. Then.
We'll do that. We'll think about that a bit later. We'll think about that later.
What have we got in the studio?
Some microphones.
Probably
anything
best not
edible.
Anyway, let's continue talking about Scotland while we're here, shall we? Rather than frying things.
Well, I want to say hello to the people in the chat room, and thank you for sending in your Kit Kat origin stories.
Oh, have we had a Kit Kat origin story?
Yes, the 14th Doctor in the chat room.
Nice.
Hi, Elaine. Says says that the Kit Kat came before the egg, so that settles that.
Ah, well, that is good then. I was wondering.
I wonder if chickens like Kit Kats.
I don't know. Do you own a chicken? Any listeners out there own any chickens?
Let us know what
you think.
Please
tell us whether chickens like Kit Kats. Do chickens eat chocolate? Is chocolate poisonous to chickens in the same way as...
What was that?
In the same way as dogs are, I was going to say.
Oh, right, yeah.
You continue.
Bongella in the chat room says, you need to fry a Kit Kat.
I believe the 14th Doctor is agreeing with this. Ooh. Well, we'll see what we can do.
We might have to give it a go. Who knows?
Well, indeed.
Yeah.
Loving the name The 14th Doctor, by the way. Very topical.
Yes.
Very much so.
That's a good point.
As we're moving forward to hearing who the 13th is going to be.
Yeah, on Sunday.
Yes, that's very exciting. I mean, this still isn't anything to do with Scotland.
After the sports ball.
Which particular sports ball?
This one.
The tennis?
This one right here.
You're not
that
holding
sort of
anything.
That fuzzy yellow one.
Ah, the fuzzy yellow sports ball. The one with the strawberries and the pims and the shorts and the love and the...
Cliff Richard.
Yes. Yeah, that's the one.
Maybe Cliff Richard is the new Doctor.
Oh, my word. Could
that
you imagine a world? Could you imagine
a
world?
Oh, my God. The song. Regeneration.
Nice. Amazing.
Yes, that would be amazing.
That would be absolutely incredible. I had a point there, but now I'm just thinking about that.
Okay.
That's all I can think about. So, yes, news. Like we were saying, Scotland has happened. You know, many millions of years ago, Scotland came into existence. And we've decided as England to sort of make them angry again, it would seem.
Well, it wasn't really our decision.
Well, it wasn't like, yeah, well, not between us in here, but like England seems to be making Scotland angry again. So remember that thing that happened where we sort of left the EU thing? Well, I say left.
Well, we haven't
yet. That thing where we expressed the intent that maybe one day we'd get around to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we need to do this thing. It turns out the EU has a bunch of laws which we quite like. So we are stealing them for ourselves as part of the Great Repeal Bill.
What's the point in that if why don't we just stay then and keep the laws?
Because
I don't understand.
Brexit means Brexit.
What does Brexit mean?
No one seems to know. But the point is, so we have this Great Repeal Bill. And it's going to apparently turn all of the EU laws that we like into UK laws, and it's going to ignore the ones that we don't like. But the Brexit Secretary, which is a real job that someone has, David Davis, has...
He's the snooker player, right?
Yeah, that's the one.
We don't know what Brexit is, but it has a secretary.
Exactly.
The secretary of what?
So it clearly has some dry cleaning and lots of memos.
Yep. Yes.
On dictaphone. Mm-hmm. But we don't know what it is.
Yes. Absolutely. You're imagining the Brexit secretary to be like Donna from Suits, aren't you?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I've never watched Suits.
Well, the Brexit secretary, which is getting more difficult to say the more I say it.
The Brexit tree.
Yes. That sounds like some sort of European Union leaving waste disposal. So anyway, has put together this Great Repeal Bill. And it turns out, now that people have actually read it, That it's going to take some of the powers that we said Scotland could have away from Scotland, which isn't great. So back when they had their first independence referendum in 2014, which the result was no, Scotland said, can we do a bit of our own, bit more of our own government, please? And the government, the UK government at the time, said yes and handed over some powers in devolution. And the Great Repeal Bill is going to take those back to Central Parliament in the UK, apparently. They're not happy.
No, I don't think I would be either.
No.
Your presenters have a combined IQ of 6,000, the same as 6,000 Trump supporters.
Mm. Political. Did you know today is Shark Awareness Day?
Shark Awareness Day. That's a little random, isn't it?
Are you aware of sharks?
Vaguely.
Catherine?
I think I saw one in a movie one time.
Okay. Excellent. Well, did you know, I've got some shark facts, I'm not just Kit Kats, that more people are killed every year by falling coconuts in Asia alone than people being killed by sharks around the world?
Oh, well, now I'm not going to be able to eat bounties anymore.
I think the threat has been neutralised by the time it gets into the chocolate bar form.
Still, you know, wouldn't want to risk it. Well, yeah. Also, did you know that sharks have survived 5 massive planet extinction events? Extinction events that kill kind of most life on Earth. So the last one was around 65 million years ago and killed the dinosaurs, but not the sharks. They're here to stay.
So in a century's time, when the planet is too hot for humans, there'll be nothing but cockroaches and sharks left.
Something like that.
Jeez.
Although, saying that, sharks are very vulnerable. Over-exploitation through sort of lots of fishing, whether that's kind of targeted or incidental catches, is one of the main global threats facing shark survival. Overfishing is driving sharks to the brink of extinction, with many populations down by as much as
80%. 80%. Wow, the poor sharks.
Well, I think we should find out if people are aware of sharks.
For Shark Awareness Day.
For Shark Awareness Day.
How do you plan on doing that exactly?
Well, the other day, I've got it here, I was surprised to find that a real physical phone book had been dropped through my letterbox.
A book with phones in it.
Pictures of phones?
No, phone numbers.
Sounds like a dull book.
How does it end?
Shh, spoilers.
Oh, okay.
Could we call some of these numbers?
Yeah, why not? That sounds like a good idea.
Okay, well,
pick a page. Go on.
Yep. Okay. Well, you pick that page there. There we go. And let's call some random people and see if
they are aware of sharks.
Okay. Right.
All right. We're ready to go.
Okay. This seems like a thing we
can pull up the telephone.
If your phone should ring,
be prepared. All right, people of the world, we're calling you now to ask you if you're aware of sharks. Oh, apparently I have to press that button. There we go.
The call button. Yeah. Often helps.
All right. Okay.
It's ringing, it says.
Can't hear anything.
Take your call right now.
Oh.
Your message after the tone. And when you're done, press hash or just hang.
All right. Fair enough. Well, that person
Are we not going to leave them a message?
No. Well, let's try calling someone else, shall we? Pick another random number out of the phone book. There you go. There's the book.
All right. There are a lot of people.
There are. Okay. Is that one?
That one.
Okay. Right. Let's.
That sounds better.
Yeah. I'm liking this. This is tense.
It is.
Hello.
Are you aware of sharks?
The fish or the thing from West Side Story?
Are they
fish or are they mammals?
Well, they're not mammals.
No, whales are mammals.
No, Wales is a country.
I'm confused.
Are you aware of sharks?
I am aware of sharks.
How do you feel about sharks?
They do their thing, I do my thing, and we will never meet.
I like it. Okay, you're aware. Did you know that sharks are endangered, sort of?
No.
Oh, well, they are 80% all dead, apparently.
Right.
Okay.
We couldn't let that happen.
No. Right, okay. I'm phoning the next person in the phone book. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Right.
Thank you for your time.
All right. Who next?
You should probably tell these people they're going to be on the radio. That one.
That one there, okay. All right, let's give this a go.
Type faster.
well, look, this is a complicated thing, okay? I'm putting people's phone numbers into a thing, okay?
Oh, is it going to ring? Oh.
It is ringing.
If that's a ringing noise, that sounded...
That's not a UK number.
Is it not?
Well, it's not a UK ringtone.
Hello, you've reached Gary Franklin. Sorry I can't take your call right now.
Oh, okay.
Off the phone. I'll call you back as soon as I can. Many thanks and have a good day. Bye. Oh.
Hello.
When you finish recording, hello. Or press the hash key for more options.
Hello. Are you aware of sharks?
Okay.
That'll do.
Right, there we go.
Wonderful.
All right, come on, let's call some more people, see if they're aware. We've only got through to one person so far.
But we have good levels of shark awareness.
We have
so far 100% aware of sharks.
Ready?
That one.
That one. Okay.
It's a wooden, very wooden phone you've got there.
Oh. Hello, are you aware of sharks?
Am I aware of what? Sharks?
Sharks.
Yes.
Great, okay, lovely. Good. How do you feel about sharks?
Well, I love sharks. I studied marine science for a couple of years, so I'm pretty a big fan of sharks, to be perfectly honest with you.
Only a couple of years?
only a couple of years. I didn't quite manage to finish the degree, but... No, me and sharks are friends.
Oh, friends. Oh, that's really good. So sharks are friends, not food.
Except, well, yeah, if I find out anyone's eating sharks, I want me best pleased.
Have you got anything cool that you could tell us about sharks?
Well, they have to keep moving, otherwise they'll sink to the bottom of the sea.
Really?
Yeah, they've got no sort of inflation device, shall we call it.
No natural buoyancy.
Uh-huh. That's the one, yeah.
Cool well. Shark fact. Wow.
Oh, well, you're welcome.
Thank
Another
you very
person
much
aware
sharing.
Of sharks.
Yes,
thank you.
Thank you. Thanks
no
very
problem.
Much.
No problem at all.
Okay. Lovely. Shall we try one more?
Yeah, go on. One
yeah, right, I'll rummage through the book this time.
Have a rummage.
Right, what we got? Here we go. Right. Oh, well, look at that one. Here we go.
Yeah, all
Throw
right.
that number.
All right, I'm doing it. All right, I've pressed the button.
Right. Cool. I'm closing the books. That was your chance.
Is it going to... Oh, yeah, there we go.
Hello?
Hello. Are you aware of sharks?
Hi. I am aware of sharks.
What do you know about sharks? Tell us everything. Tell us everything you know.
I don't know that much about sharks. I know what they look like.
What do they look like? I don't know. I've never seen a shark. Are they big? Are they small? Are they grey? I don't know. Tell me about sharks.
Are they pink?
Everything.
Did you know... Wonderful. That all the sharks are dead. No, not all of them. What was the figure?
80%.
Oh, 80%.
80% of sharks are dead. At this moment in time, 80% of the sharks are dead.
Zombie sharks.
Yes.
That's a lot of sharks.
It is. Do you think that's good or do you think that's bad?
I think that's bad.
You think that's bad? You don't want dead sharks?
No.
What are you going to do about the dead sharks?
I don't know. What are you going to do about the dead sharks?
Oh, I see what you did there.
The challenge has been issued.
I'm hosting an informative chat show here about sharks. What are you going to do? I'm raising awareness. What are you doing?
That's a fair point, actually. You've come off a bit Jeremy Kyle, though, guys, I have to say.
Yeah, fine. I mean...
Next up, that shark's married to your brother. What are you going to do about it? He's disrespecting your family.
Are you going to punch him on the nose?
No, don't punch a shark. Don't punch a shark. Please don't punch a shark.
No.
All right, well, thank you very much for telling us that you like sharks.
No bother.
Thank you. Oh, this is
Lovely.
Quite fun. Come on, one more.
Oh, fine.
Choose me one more number.
Go on, then.
This one.
That one. All right, okay, tapping it in. Tapping into the phone of dreams.
The phone of
the
dreams.
The phone of dreams.
Here we go.
I'm going to call it that now.
Oh.
It's always good when it rings.
Yep.
The number works.
Hi.
Do you like sharks? No, are you aware of sharks? Are you aware of sharks?
Oh, sharks, yes. I don't know. I know of their general existence. I've never met one in person.
Right, but you are aware of them. Today is Shark Awareness Day, and we're checking with the general public if they are aware of sharks.
I like to think I'm fairly aware of sharks in general.
You're fairly aware of them. Okay, tell us a shark fact. You said you were fairly aware of sharks. What's this all about?
I feel like I've misled you somewhat. I know they exist. I know there are several kinds of sharks.
There are
hammerhead sharks, which look a bit like a T.
Hammerhead sharks. I like it.
Sorry?
Hammerhead sharks. This is good. What other type of sharks are there?
Ah, now you're testing me. I mean, that is exactly what you're saying, but could I name you another kind of shark off the top of my head? Probably not.
Okay, well, tell us something about hammerhead sharks.
They look a bit funny, I guess. I don't know many kinds of sharks.
They look a bit funny?
Evidently.
You probably look funny to a hammerhead shark.
Bloody hell.
That's offensive.
Yeah.
This is quite
offensive, but I'm
this is taking a turn. We call these people,
This is true. I'm not very good at interviewing people. This is what I'm like with politicians as well. Well, why don't the sharks have more of a say? Oh, dear.
It's all about sharks with you, isn't it?
Shark independence.
Well, Shark Pendants Day.
Thank you. I was going to say thank you, caller, but you didn't call. We called you.
Yes,
so
thank you so much for answering your phone. We appreciate it.
Yes. I'm just here waiting to pick up some pizza, and suddenly, boom, sharks.
Well, I hope your pizza does not have sharks on it.
Yes.
I hope so, too.
And last but not least, what do you think about a Kit Kat that has a thumb?
That makes me deeply uncomfortable.
Okay, there we go.
Well, there's the view from...
Thanks very much.
From that
person. No worries.
Okay.
Thank you.
That was weird. let's not do that again. Thank you so much to everyone we bothered there. That was... I mean,
although I have a new respect for the phone book.
Yes. I mean, wow.
Well, this is brilliant.
It does work most of the time. You do occasionally get voicemail, but wow.
We left one person a message, but we did then reach out to, what was that, four people, five people we
Something
wanted to
like
talk
that.
To?
We have made at least four people more aware of sharks, I like to think.
Yes, and not one of them swore at us. That's quite an achievement.
Yes, frankly, I'm amazed.
Yes. I wish more of my just cold calls that surprised me out of the blue were like that.
Are you aware of sharks?
Randomly.
I mean, you know, a little bit scary and confrontational, but...
Yeah, I was quite highly strung. I really want people to know about sharks.
But, you know, there was no pressure to buy anything or...
No, there was just pressure to know about sharks.
I
was imparting knowledge.
I'm sure
knowledge.
People didn't feel like they were getting scammed.
Ah, yeah, well, that would have been... This is actually a spam shark.
Sharkspam.com.
If you're a regular listener, you'll know it's time for the Geekly Chronicles. If you're an irregular listener, you need to eat more fibre.
But not more sharks.
Yes, that would be bad. Hello again to people in the chat room. Tiki says, what the hell is a shark?
Okay.
So there is at least one person that's not aware of sharks.
So I think we need to get some of those people back on the phone.
Yeah.
To explain.
Connect them with Tiki in the chat room.
We can make that happen. We've had a fact from Bongella who says sharks shed their teeth constantly.
But humans do that too, though.
Not constantly.
Wow, okay.
We only kind of shed them once and then once again.
Well, this is why I pay so much to the dentist every year.
Mm-hmm.
Do they just keep
Yeah, they
out?
Just keep falling out, get new ones, falling out, get new ones.
You might be a shark. Have you been checked for, like, dorsal fins?
I've never been checked for dorsal fins, but I do like dancing along to halftime Super Bowl shows.
Well,
ooh,
there is a... I mean, that
conclusive.
Is a real symptom.
Yes.
And you should probably see your doctor. See your doctor about whether you may be a shark.
I'll do that.
Excellent. So, news has happened.
I still love the story about the umbrella startup.
Yeah.
Oh, what is that? I mean, the most surprising thing, the revelation for me, was that there were 14... umbrella sharing startups.
Really?
I mean, how many do you need?
Well, clearly lots if the umbrellas keep getting stolen. All of them, I presumably, have different security on them. I wonder if some of them have, like, GPS-tracked umbrellas. Wow. Maybe some of them have, like, alarms on their umbrella, so when they go too far from the base station or away from the person whose phone it's paired with, it's like, it goes like that.
Yeah.
I mean,
it would be interesting, wouldn't it, if you could see all the umbrellas on a GPS map and you would just see them all migrate south for the winter.
Nice.
Yeah, that's because they all got nicked by the same person who is driving them to a different part of the country.
Well, I mean, you were saying, how many were there? 14, was it?
I think it was 14 umbrella startups.
Was it just in China, that?
I'm not sure. I think so, but there's lots of news stories, and
I mean, there are hundreds. There are hundreds of umbrella sharing services in the UK. Just walk into a pub, find the coat stand. There's your umbrella.
That's true. This also highlights to me that there's a startup for everything at the moment, which is mad. You were saying earlier, someone was tweeting about a wallet startup or something, wallet sharing.
Well, that this, you know, really
puts the kibosh
made them doubt their wallet startup. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I can imagine. But I mean, it is a bit. Maybe it is a step too far. Do you not think to share?
You'd only have to hire an umbrella, sort of, you know, two or three times, and you might as well have just bought one.
Yeah, my umbrella was £3. I don't know what that works out to in Chinese currency, and I don't know what the rates are on umbrella rental. But how many times do you have to have rented an umbrella to make it more expensive than just buying one?
I suppose the only advantage is that you then don't have to always carry the umbrella around on the off chance.
True.
Just wherever you are, you can grab one off a railing or something. But they're very pretty rainbow umbrellas.
Yes, they do look quite nice, to be fair. They're probably more expensive than my umbrella was.
I reckon what they did was just every time the sixth doctor appeared somewhere in time, they nicked his umbrella.
That makes sense.
Stuck a lock on it and hung it on a railing.
I don't know. I think this is just, we're just getting into a mad world of startups, which is a bit.
Yes.
A startup sharing startup.
Yes, a startup sharing startup where startups can start up with startups when you want to start up.
Yes. If you've had an idea but aren't that committed to it, you could just palm it off on someone else after a few months. And it's like, hey, who wants to take on this ridiculous idea I've had? And then you'd
as be. As a startup sharing startup.
Yeah. And then you don't need to. You can have ridiculous ideas for terrible startups, but none of the commitment.
And, there was always that old saying when I used to work in and around startups, well, you can't reinvent the alphabet. And that is a terrible segue onto another new story of the week.
Yes, because as it turns out, if you are the German Spelling Council, you can.
The German Spelling Council.
Yeah, I realise I kind of nonchalantly slipped that in there. That is a thing. There is a German Spelling Council.
But surely they're not called the German Spelling Council. Well, surely they're called Deutsche...
You have absolutely no idea how to say the word spelling council in German, do you?
I barely have any idea how to say anything in German.
Deutsche was impressed, but...
I know that one.
Yes.
Wow, Wikipedia has a list of language regulators.
Yeah, it does.
Incredible.
Opening that up.
Excellent. Well, you get that opened up.
Sounds fascinating.
Take me to the German one. I want to try and say it. now that Kez has butchered it. Oh. Rat für deutsche Rechtschreibung.
Reicher, deutsche Strecke, Aufschwung.
Absolutely.
If we have any German listeners, please tell us what we just said.
Yes, but...
Reicher, Striker, Break One, Alpha, Deutsche was what I heard.
Okay, but, in German, in the German alphabet, there is a character that no other language has.
Mickey Mouse.
No.
Donald Duck.
No. Are you done? Anyway.
Harriet Jones, MP for Flydale North.
I'm going to continue. They have a character called the SZ, which is...
Is SZ their first name or their surname?
I mean, shall I continue? Or
Go on.
So they have this SZ thing. It symbolizes a double S sound in German. And it's sort of been declining in use. But it is still very much a part of the language. In 1996, the German Spelling Council reformed some of German spelling and got rid of the SZ's use in a lot of words. But they have announced today, or recently, this was a few days ago, that they have now introduced the capital SZ, because there was no capital version of the letter. So if you wanted to angrily say something that had the SZ in it, in capitals, you were unable to do that. But yeah, now you can angrily type things with double S's in German.
Is that the word is that the letter that looks a bit like a B?
A little bit.
Right. I get what you mean now.
Yes. The 14th,
done a capital one of those.
The 14th doctor in the chat room speaks German and is already cringing at Kev's words, but it's seen as the 14th doctor suggests in the German word for road, which is Strasse. And some people use Weiss, which means to know. They put the SZ in that rather than a double S. But the reason it's kind of important is some people have the SZ in their names.
I see.
So on a German passport, on passports, your names are in capitals. So on a German passport, if you had the SZ in your name, it would be transliterated to a double S because there was no capital SZ, so it was impossible to print that. But
right.
Now we have a capital version of this.
You
this
say
character.
We, you mean Germany?
Well, yeah, I mean we human beings.
Humanity has a capital S set.
Yes. Right. You can now sort of spell people's names correctly.
Cool.
So yay. Obviously some people are angry about it, because it's change and some people don't like change, but yeah, that's the rules now. So there you go. Capital S set. It's happening. You're welcome, Germany. How are you doing on that list of language regulators?
I was expecting there to be some, you know, really out there names, but actually they're all fairly, you know, restrained. You know, the National Institute of the Korean Language. Sort of exactly what you'd expect it to be called. I'm a little bit disappointed.
It's like the zombie apocalypse, but with less brains.
As we've already mentioned, July is Cell Phone Courtesy Month, and we're certain we could be better at knowing when to do what and how to do which. Joining us now is William Hansen, etiquette consultant, social commentator, and broadcaster. Sky News calls him the UK's leading consultant in etiquette and protocol, and on BBC Radio 2, he's simply known as the Etiquette Guy. William, we have to ask, how does one become an etiquette consultant? You're the only one we've ever heard of.
Yes, it's. I'll be honest, it's not something I sort of grew up going, well, that's what I'm going to do. You know, like people want to be firemen or vets or doctors or something. I wanted to be a journalist, or before that, I quite fancied myself as the Archbishop of Canterbury. Yes, I know, generally age 12, that's what I wanted to do. I quite like the clothes, I think. And anyway, when I was 12, actually shortly around my Archbishop phase, my maternal grandmother gave me a copy of an etiquette book for Christmas. Not because I was a rude child that she thought could do with an etiquette book, I hasten to add, but because I was a fairly precocious child, it may surprise you to learn, and I think she thought it would appeal to my precocity. And to be fair, it did, and I started reading it and got interested that way. And then when I was 16, 17, at my school, I was asked, I still don't know why, a member of staff just came up to me on the street and said, would you mind teaching the young years how to set a table, sort of in groups of 20 every Tuesday? And I said, oh, okay, fine. Did it, because, you know, you just did what your school told you to do, unless it was sport, of course, in which I didn't bother with that. And then it snowballed from there, really. And then the local radio station did a piece, the local newspaper, television station. And this is my 10th year of doing it, so it's kept me busy.
It's a fascinating story, because obviously over the last 10 years, technology has become a lot more prevalent through society, and we've kind of gone from looking up at the world around us in some cases to looking at this all-knowing, glowing rectangle that we carry around with us. So it is Cell Phone Courtesy Month this month. Why do you think we need something like that, and why is proper etiquette around things like mobile phones so important?
Mobile phones are fantastic. I'm not ever going to suggest that we scrap them, because they are a huge lifesaver, both literally and metaphorically, for a lot of people. The issue that I have with mobile phones and tablets and sort of other technology like it is that they are there to complement our social and professional lives and not to replace them. And a lot of people in all walks of life, from whatever country, from whatever culture, seem to get the balance wrong. And actually, when it comes to having a face-to-face conversation with someone who is either a stranger or near to a stranger, they struggle, and people struggle having the confidence to go up to people at parties or on, you know, dates in real life, or chat someone up, or potential clients at networking events, whatever it happens to be. They struggle because they don't have that comfort blanket, the safety blanket of their mobile phone, where they can write something out, look at it, read it back, and then send it. There is no sort of edit function when you are just having a conversation as we are today. You just have to hope that what you say doesn't offend anyone, makes sense, and presents you in the best possible light.
So what's the number one situation, you'd say, where people end up being unintentionally rude with their phones?
I think it's probably when they are gathering with family and friends, and, you know, friends, you know, I'll host dinners here or lunches, and there will inevitably be a moment. Normally it's after the main course, before the pudding. Usually that's when people would go up to go to the loo, but nowadays it's when people take out their phones and they just check that, you know, someone famous hasn't followed them on Instagram or Twitter, or to see what's happened, check the breaking news alerts, which, let's face it, at the moment are fairly interesting and alarming from time to time, but that it's almost that is the acceptable time to do it. And to be fair, sometimes I don't mind, because actually that's normally when I'm sort of clearing away the main course and preparing the pudding. So actually I'm not really able to talk to the guests, and that is, you know, keeps them busy, keeps them happy, and ultimately keeps them at your house. But actually when it comes to meeting up with family, I have noticed, not just in my own family, but in other families that I'm sort of part of or have witnessed, people within that family using their phones in front of each other even more than a group of friends will, probably thinking, well, oh, they're family, so, you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if I offend them particularly by this having my mobile phone out, because they are always going to be my family. And especially if you see your family quite a lot, I think people do that because they're sort of almost slightly bored of their family, maybe. But friends in coffee shops as well, or colleagues, you see, you've clearly made a date to get together to chat, so you need to see each other face to face, and yet you're on your mobile phones. Why bother to take a taxi or to pollute the world by driving to that coffee shop when you could have stayed at home and just spoken to your colleague or your friend on your mobile?
Well, and sometimes in restaurants, I've been sat there, and as you do occasionally, people watch if the person I'm eating with has gone to the bathroom or something, and you do sometimes see entire families of people not talking to each other, just on their phones.
Mm.
And it does
absolutely, and it's sad, because it's not. You know, there is a time and place for mobile phones. I get that. I've said that. But actually, when you're at the dinner table, even if there is no food on the table, you are there to chat to the people around that table. That's part of the bargain when you go out for a meal with someone. If I ask my friend to come out with me or whatever, is we are there to chat. We are not there to scroll through Instagram.
Well, indeed. In the grand scheme of things, I mean, mobile phones, as we said, are fairly new. The way we use our phones and technology all around the world is changing all the time. So we never used to have computers that could fit into our pockets, so this wasn't an issue. Now we do. And who knows what's going to happen in 5 or 10 or 15 years' time. So who decides what's good and what's bad etiquette when these new things come along?
Yeah, well, that's a very interesting question, and one I get asked quite a lot is, you know, is there some sort of etiquette council or sort of grand chamber of people that are sitting deciding what is acceptable? Well, sadly, there is not. I mean, there are, actually I'm going to one in a few days' time. There is a protocol conference that happens each year where sort of rules of diplomatic protocol are discussed, and, you know, solutions that need to be found for modern problems are discussed, but it's by no means sort of gospel, anything that gets discussed. But for sort of etiquette, which is sort of a lesser form of protocol, then no, there isn't. So really it is the job of people like me and anyone with common sense, really, and just humans in general, to sort of look at what has gone before and to use their common sense to work out what actually should happen now. For example, when the telephone was invented by Bell, people used to shout down the telephone because they couldn't quite believe that their voice was going to be transmitted to the other person who could be miles away. And very soon they realised they didn't need to do that. When the mobile phone came in, we had, "I'm on the train!" people shouting down, because again, same thing happened. People didn't quite understand that they could whisper on a mobile phone and you would still be heard fairly clearly by the other person. So we adapt, we see what happens, we adjust our behaviour, but good manners are just about respecting other people. So you, at the end of the day, with any piece of new technology, if something was invented tomorrow, you just have to think, is this going to offend somebody? Am I going to come across in the best possible light? Am I embarrassing myself or other people? And adapt your behaviour to the answers to those questions.
Yeah, so thinking about that, obviously we can adapt our behaviour depending on who we're with. So if we're with a group of friends, it might be different to, say, meeting the Queen. If we met the Queen one day, do you think we should leave our smartphones at home?
Yes, I would say that there are times and places where if you're going to, you can either leave them at home or you can just keep them on you in case there is some sort of emergency, but switch them off. Going to the Buckingham Palace, Windsor Castle, Balmoral, wherever you're going, it is going to be probably for most people, a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And to be honest, are you going to sort of get home and think, yeah, I wish I had spent more time looking at Instagram whilst I was standing in the white drawing room at Buckingham Palace? No, you're probably not. You're going to probably think, I wish I were looking at the beautiful Sèvres vases or whatever it happens to be, the chandeliers in the white drawing room. So switch it off. There's a lovely story that in 1997, when Tony Blair's government just came to power, there was a drinks reception at Buckingham Palace for the new cabinet. And one of the secretaries of state, I think it was Claire Short at the time, her mobile phone went off while she was chatting to the Queen and a group of people. And the Queen said the most fantastic line, which was so elegant, but also such a put down. She said, "Oh no, please do answer it. It might be somebody important."
Thinking about being somewhere like Buckingham Palace or in that kind of situation, I think it's very tempting for people to want to take a photograph or indeed a selfie, as people do now. And mobile phones have really overtaken traditional cameras as the way most people take pictures. So is there anything we should take into account when we're out and about snapping photographs with our mobile phones?
Yes, just remember time and place and context, really. It's the same sort of issue that we've always had even before. So we all carried cameras of, let's say you're on holiday in Spain and you go into a beautiful basilica, for example, and obviously because it's Spain and we're English and not used to hot temperatures, we're probably in a t-shirt and shorts. Well, some of the basilicas, being Catholic, will not allow that, depending on how strict they are. And it's the same with, you know, when they never used to allow flash photography because supposedly the flash would damage some of the surroundings. Now, obviously, we can turn our flashes off now on our mobile phones, and actually the flash is not quite as sort of damaging to artefacts, but still some basilicas or museums or public places don't encourage photography. So first of all, you check to see if you are actually allowed to take photographs. Look around you as well. If there aren't any signs, are other people doing it? Are there sort of officials looking a bit cross or coming over? If there is an official, go and ask them, you know, to have the confidence, just go up and say, "Excuse me, can I take a photograph?" But if you're taking photographs of, let's say, celebrities, for example, if you see a celebrity in a restaurant or an hotel or something, then, you know, do remember that they are probably there in their personal capacity, and so won't necessarily appreciate somebody coming over to them and insisting that you have a selfie with them. And of course, nobody asks for autographs anymore. It's always selfies. And so they have every right to say no. If they're there because they're promoting their latest film or something, then fair game. Ask them politely and they should oblige.
We've noticed that July is not only cell phone courtesy month, but picnic month.
Oh, yes.
Are there any tips you can give us for having an extra civilised picnic?
Yes, my tips for the best picnic is to raise the standards, and I mean raise in every sense of the word, actually to have it on a table. Have a sort of an al fresco thing. You don't have to have it prostrate on the floor. That's not really conducive to an elegant picnic, really. And, you know, that wonderful Sunday in the Park with George painting that there is, it's never quite as elegant as that when you have it, especially in this country. Picnics really are for ants. Yes, so if you're going to have picnics, I like the ones with chairs, really. If you are going to have a rug, make sure it's big enough for everybody that's sitting on the rug and all the food, and there's no sort of, you don't feel too sort of pushed into a corner of the rug. You feel that you can spread out. Tupperware is always good nowadays for picnics, but do remember that, you know, if you're going to eat sort of egg-based dishes, then they don't do very well in the sun, and neither will you the next day. So think carefully as to what you are eating and how long it is sort of lifted out of the hamper. And proper knives and forks. You know, just because you're having a picnic doesn't mean to say it has to be plastic. Because although you can get better quality plastic knives and forks, that most knives and forks won't really cut anything, and it's sort of one of the tines snaps off into your pork pie, your cocktail sausage, and it just, it's actually a bit of a bore. So if you're going to do it, you might as well just take your own cutlery from home and even your own glasses.
Our next show, 2 weeks from now, is Talk in an Elevator Day. from wide open spaces to very close ones. Is it good form to make conversation with strangers while trapped in a small metal box?
Well, look, this is really interesting, actually, because the English don't speak to people in lifts. We just don't. I mean, and I get in a lift numerous times a day because I live in a building where I have to use a lift to get to my flat. And if someone dares, you know, sometimes when my parents come to visit and they start either even continuing chatting to me, if somebody gets in on another floor and we continue our journey, I bristle somewhat because it just doesn't feel natural. However, in Northern Ireland, sort of another one of our countries that supposedly we're very similar with, being part of the United Kingdom, they have this black cab concept, which, you know, you're probably familiar with, London black cabs. However, it's not quite like a London black cab. Anyone can get in them, and even once you've got in them, anyone else can get in them. And so you have all sorts of people in this cab that go up and down the two main roads, one for the Catholic road and one for the Protestant road. And you just get in and you say where you need to go, and as long as it's off this road, the driver will take you and he'll drop off whoever gets there first. And I've just done a show for BBC One Northern Ireland where I had to experience this, and as an Englishman, it was very alien because people start having conversations with you. And of course, normally when I get in a black cab in London, you think, well, this is, you know, as long as the driver's not chatty, I can just actually sit here for 5 minutes for my journey and just collect my thoughts and be silent. But no, you can't do that in Northern Ireland, and it's interesting. In such confined space over there, it's perfectly normal to chat to people, whereas here in a lift we don't like it and we don't encourage it, and maybe we can't, it's because we can't cope with it.
I've travelled to the United States a lot, and often if I get into a lift or an elevator, as they call it there, there's much more of an acknowledgement, not necessarily a conversation, but people will generally say, well, good morning or afternoon, and it's that kind of
hey.
I almost feel like compelled to respond to that, because of course someone has just given me a greeting, but at the same time it goes very against my not talking in elevators normally. So it is interesting how in different cultures it's almost rude if you don't respond. Now, if the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy were indeed a real thing, is that something that you would consider contributing to? Getting the sense from this conversation that there's possibly a lot that you could offer visiting aliens to the planet Earth.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, it depends. Of course, Britain is an interesting country now, because we have sort of traditional Brits, and then we have the sort of the new millennial generation, of which I'd imagine that we are all part of. And so actually sort of what used to be the done thing in England and Britain is not so much of the done thing now. But I think the key is that it's just maintaining a slight formality to begin with when you are meeting someone. Familiarity does breed contempt, it's very true. And so if you go in to meet someone and you are too pally, then you're not necessarily going to come out of it very well. And in Britain, those sort of little tiny little things, even from someone's clothes, just the way that they greet us, they do affect our opinion. We are such a judgmental society, and even those who go, oh, we don't judge people, everybody judges people, it's human nature, don't lie. If we were creating a society tomorrow from scratch, would we program people to judge others? No, we wouldn't, of course not, but it does happen, and you've got to play the game. And so just sort of hold back slightly, and I think that's something the millennials need to consider, is that, you know, they've all grown up being told by their parents and their schools that they can do anything and that they're marvellous and they are the most important person on planet Earth, and actually, sadly, that's not how life works.
Yeah, so with that in mind, last but not least, I suppose, what advice would you give to our young listeners who are perhaps feel a little bit torn between wanting to do the right thing and be kind and also wanting to be true to themselves?
Yeah, the key is, I think, that the thing that will open a lot of doors for you is confidence. Confidence without arrogance. And sort of looping back to what we were saying at the beginning, that does involve actually having the ability to just tear yourself away from your mobile phone. So if you've got a good handshake, for example, it's firm, but it's not too firm. You say your name clearly, and you have a good smile, and you're not afraid to start a conversation with people from all sorts of walks of life, that's probably a pretty good start and will get you good, you know, get you places that you perhaps wouldn't go if you were a bit shy, retiring, and had a pathetic handshake. That and dress as well. You know, dress for the occasion. Look like you've made an effort. So many people, you know, don't make an effort anymore. You look at sort of contestants on game shows and today, and then you look at contestants on game shows 15 years ago, and what they are wearing to appear on television is totally different from what they would wear now. They'll turn up in a t-shirt and they'll be, you know, you'll be lucky if they've ironed it, whereas you look in the Generation Game sort of when that finished, or sort of game shows like that, and they've turned up wearing a jacket and tie. Now I'm not saying we have to wear a jacket and tie anymore, but you know, and forgetting television, but it's amazing how many business meetings you go to now and you think, am I interrupting your holiday? Why are you dressed like that? And it certainly for me, being fairly traditional, if, you know, if I met my accountant and he was in a t-shirt and jeans, I'd probably begin to just think, maybe I need to find a new accountant. You know, you've got to dress for the job that you do, really, because it again instills confidence, and as I said, life is a game and you've got to play it.
I mean, I suppose you can compare that with the advice that people often give, which is dress for the job you want, not the job you have. But dressing as a full-time chocolate taster hasn't quite paid off in the way that I was hoping it would.
No, and I'm still dressing as the Archbishop of Canterbury, which probably explains why I get funny looks in Sainsbury's. But
it's such a shame this is radio.
I know. I'll just adjust my wimple. But no, it's you do dress for the job that you want, but also, you know, it's for people that maybe, for the younger listeners that have got impending job interviews perhaps, and if the question I get asked all the time on social media or via my website or in my classes is, oh, I've got this job interview, what do I wear? Well, you know, if you're being interviewed at, let's say, IBM tomorrow, for example, go to IBM the day before, go and stand outside the offices at closing time and see what everybody else is wearing, and that'll probably give you a good indication of the dress code in the office. Also go and have a look to see if they're smiling and they look like they actually like their lives, because if you're going to go and work for an organisation, you might as well go and enjoy it. But err on the side of formality if you're unsure. You know, don't turn up in a t-shirt and jeans.
That's absolutely wonderful advice, especially looking to see if people are happy as they leave the workplace. It is amazing how few people think about doing research when they are looking at things like jobs or whether this is an event they want to go to or anything like that. You don't just have to Google and have a look at their official website. You can just go and stand outside of a place and look and see what people are doing, what they're wearing, and talk to people. It is almost like we need to remember that we do have those skills that the internet has not replaced. We've just forgotten that we have.
Exactly, and that's what people do need to just keep in mind, is that actually sometimes you've got to put in a bit of effort. And I think employers, especially today, will be looking for those who put in effort, because so many people want to get the maximum reward for doing very little. Sort of, you know, we've all sort of grown up being aware of the success that people like Mark Zuckerberg have had. You know, in the grand scheme of things, to begin with, he hasn't done an awful lot. He was quite a talented coder, and he supposedly created this sort of Facebook thing, but he didn't toil for years and years and years and years to get where he was. He achieved success relatively at a young age, which is great for him, but actually it doesn't mean to say that everybody else at that age is going to replicate anywhere near the same success financially or sort of professionally that he has had. So put in a bit of effort. If you're applying for a job and it says send your CV to the Director of Human Resources at Barclays, don't just write to the Director of Human Resources at Barclays. Look on the website or phone up and ask what the name of the Director of Human Resources is. So you write Dear Mr. Smith rather than Dear Sir or Dear Sir or Madam. No one is a sir or a madam, they are one or the other. And so if you put a bit of effort in, you are going to be able to, you know, your potential employer is going to look at it and go, oh, they've actually bothered to find out my name. I know places such as Barclays and the big corporates deliberately don't put a name to send your CV on, because they are waiting to see who has bothered to put a bit of effort in. And that's a very quick way of whittling down 2,000 CVs to about 50.
Well, William, thank you for joining us. That's all really good advice that I think many of our listeners could benefit from. I know certainly I will.
If you ever get off your phone, that is.
Have you been on your phone throughout the entire duration of this interview?
William, I cannot tell a lie. So I'm not going to. Is there a song we can play for you, Will?
Yes, it always puts a smile on my face. It's Noel Coward's Mrs. Worthington.
Lovely. Well, thank you very much again for joining us, and we'll play that for you now.
Thank you, Skylar. Thank you, Kez, and Catherine as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers.
You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles.
Well, thank you there to William Hansen, our etiquette expert, who, while lots of great advice there, perhaps needs to learn a little etiquette around gender conformity and indeed choices of request.
Yeah.
Thanks there, William. We really enjoyed having you on the show. And
indeed.
Yes, learning about picnics. And what a great, the whole going and standing outside a potential employer and looking at what people wear and whether they're happy. I still think that is the best piece of advice.
Whether they're happy in particular.
Yes, fallen foul of that many a time in my life so far. But anyway, moving swiftly on from that. Remember to get your votes in for GFundIt. You need to tell us if you would fund Pip's Hand of Kit Kat idea. Head to gkly.co/fundit.
Yes. You can also get your requests in via our chat room or by tweeting us at gklyco.
Now, remember earlier when we were talking about deep frying things?
Yes.
That was from Kid Politician, who talked about fryantists.
Indeed.
And his vision for the future was that we could have scientists focused on frying new and amazing, exciting things. Now, here at the Geekly Chronicles, the closest we have to a scientist is Catherine.
Yes.
And so we've sent
her
the
best we can do
down into the studio kitchen to take Bongella in the chat room suggestion and make it a reality. Catherine, are you there?
I am there. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Can you hear us?
I can just about hear you over the extractor fan, which
excellent.
I'm quite determined to keep on.
Yes. Well, you are down there in the... in the studio kitchen, which is an entire floor and a bit away from where we are right now. What are you doing? What's going on? What's in front of you? Describe the scene.
Well, I've been heating up some fat during that song there. So I've got it to a point where it's nice and hot. I've just tested that with a little bit of bread just to see, is this actually going to be ready to fry when I drop the Kit Kat in? Now, I've had the Kit Kat in the fridge. It's just leapt out of the fridge, but luckily it didn't break.
Excellent.
And it was still in its wrapper, so it's all fine. I'm just going to unwrap the Kit Kat.
I'm now, excited for this. I honestly am.
So we are deep frying a Kit Kat. Is that what's happening here?
Mm-hmm. So I've made some batter. I mixed this up about maybe, 20 minutes before the show and then popped it in the fridge. So for the last few minutes during that song, I've just been giving it a little bit of an extra beat so it's got some air in it. Perhaps had we not done this spur of the moment, it would have been nice to pop a bit of beer or something in the batter, make a nice beer batter. But as this was a bit spur of the moment, it's just a sort of standard, egg, flour, milk sort of deal.
Fair enough.
Right.
I mean, that's the kind of batter that works fine for me.
Mm. So what I'm going to do is, I'm just going to drop the Kit Kat in and see if I can coat it, really.
Okay.
All right, so you're coating a Kit Kat in batter. Is that what's happening now?
So my fat was hot enough, but I kind of lowered it down a bit so that there wasn't any risk of fire. You really don't want to leave batter and fat in a pan unattended ever.
No, well, this is why we've got you on a radio mic in the kitchen, not running up here to the studio.
Also, never want to see it smoking, so if that happens, take it straight off the heat.
Surely these days it would be more vaping than smoking.
So, right, now comes the tricky bit of lifting the Kit Kat out of the batter and into the hot fat. So wish me luck.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Right,
please be safe.
Fairly quick. It's in.
Oh, I can hear it.
That no idea how long it's going to take.
Oh.
I'm guessing we want it to look kind of golden.
I guess so.
I suppose.
So we will
chocolate to leak out.
We will have to tweet out a picture of this when it's done.
Wow. Oh, it's come up to the top. It's floating. I guess that probably means it's sort of done.
I have no idea.
Okay. I'm really not an expert. I've never fried anything in my life. Have you ever fried anything?
I've fried stuff.
What I'm
going to
do is fish it out.
Yeah, so I've never deep fried anything.
So I'm fishing it out.
I can smell the smell of
towel.
Fried
yeah.
oil coming up to the studio.
I'm going to switch off the heat and move
Good
the pan
plan.
Off of it. So
nice.
There's no chance of that getting any warmer when I run back upstairs.
Good stuff.
Right, let's turn the extractor off. And head back to the studio.
Oh, wow.
Brilliant.
See how this tastes.
Okay, well, we look forward to that.
Here she comes.
Right, nearly there.
Nearly there. Nearly there. Right, okay. Oh, there you go.
Is.
You're
Hello.
In the door. I'm going to turn up your other microphone and turn down that radio one. Now, can you... Oh, no, wait. You're coming around. I'm going to keep your radio mic up.
Yep. So what do you think? How does it look?
That looks pretty...
it looks weird.
Fried.
It
I'm
going to
be honest
fried.
With you. There's batter. There's...
Oh, so are we trying this now?
Yep,
Ooh,
Catherine's chopping it up.
Yeah,
it is quite squidgy.
I'm going to cut it into three.
Oh, well, that would make sense. Mm-hmm. I notice how you're cutting it not along the lines that the Kit Kat would have for its fingers.
Well, no, because they're obviously four fingers, three, that
three
would be
hosts.
Tricky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. I've got a fork.
Excellent. Let's dig in.
Not really sure how to do this.
No.
Well, you start over at that end of the table. I'll wait for it to come my way.
It's quite squidgy is my only sort of concern.
Well, I'm going to have a taste and then pass it to Kez.
I think I'm gonna carve up. I'll separate a finger.
Ooh,
any good?
This is the first deep fried chocolate bar experience I'm ever gonna have.
I'm pro.
Let's try a bit here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hello. Yeah.
I think the batter could be crispier.
Mine's just falling apart here.
The batter could be crispier. I agree, but. Mm-hmm.
Oh yep. Wow!
Success.
Wow!
Chocolate wafer.
Wow.
Hotness.
Yeah.
Oh, I ate a bit of your one, sorry.
It's all right.
All's fair in love, war, and Kit Kat. Deep frying.
This is impressive.
Yeah, I like this a lot more than I thought I would, I have to say.
Game of Geeks. It's like a quiz show, only it's... Oh, wait, it's exactly like a quiz show.
That it is. It's quiz time again. I am Pete and Catherine
and Kez. Christmas time is here.
Head to head, Kez is currently leading by three shows to Catherine's one. So, Catherine, You very much have to buck your ideas up.
Well, and if you're a first-time listener, this is
a quiz.
This is a quiz.
In which I pit these two against each other. There are three rounds. The music round, the WikiHow round, which we will get to later, and the wild card. And this week's wild card, I think, is all kinds of fun. But then again, I wrote it, so of course I do. Gosh, you look quite hot, Catherine.
I am. I've just been deep frying.
Fair.
What, you were deep frying? Yes. I thought the batter tasted a bit funny.
Mm.
Anyway, to play this quiz, we're going to need buzzers. Mm. So, Catherine goes.
Ah, cell phone.
Nice. And Kez goes.
What have I got? Ah, right. Oh.
I see.
Did you drop the phone in the toilet?
I guess I did.
Yeah. So let's kick off with the music round. So I'll give you 4 points. I'm going to play you four songs and you need to spot the connection between them. 4 points if you get it on the first, 3 on the second, 2 on the third, and 1 point if you get it on the fourth clue.
I've got my finger on the buzzer.
Fingers on buzzers. Here's the first.
Ah! I had my finger on the...
Okay, Catherine.
Starship names in Star Trek.
Starship names in Star Trek. That's what you're going with.
Yep.
No.
Surprisingly.
Funnily enough, yeah. Not the connection.
Why would Skylar have got anything Star Trek?
I've seen exactly two episodes of Star
Trek
in my entire life.
You could have just Googled a list.
You could have, yeah.
I could have. But no, that's not the connection, I'm afraid. So here's the second clue. Cares.
Sailing boat related things.
Sailing boat related things. Coming in after two clues, you get 3 points.
Yes.
I would have accepted the word sailing as well.
Well, I was going to do that because it was so obvious. But then I also thought, I was tempted to guess after the first one, names of wombles. Because of Orinoco Flow.
That would have been a good round.
It would have been a good round, yeah.
Damn. Why didn't they do
that? Okay, so what other songs did you have? Did you have Sailboat by Katie Melua?
I did not. I considered
it. I love that one.
But then I noticed you'd listened to it recently on Spotify, so I didn't want to use it.
Did you have I'm Sailing Away?
Well, I did not have that. I had a bit of this. Sail away with me. David Gray.
That would have made it super obvious.
Yes.
Did you have The Irish Rover by the Dubliners and the Pogues?
No.
Oh, what is the point of you?
I did have this, though.
That is
the only lyric in that song. That song is called Sail. It's by
what a lyrical
AWOL Nation. AWOL Nation. Anyway, coming in after two clues, Kez gets 3 points.
Thank you.
We go for the next music music connection.
Okay, go.
There's dancing in the studio. It's great.
It's a good song.
Oh, we've got a guest. Catherine.
Life After Death.
Afraid not.
Bum.
I can't give that to you.
Bum indeed.
Yes.
I can't quite give that to you. So
go on, next clue.
Is the next clue. Nothing changes when we're apart. It's just a little bit longer without this
part. Yeah, I'm not getting anything on this one.
Catherine.
Like people being apart.
No.
People being separated.
No.
No. Okay. Not
even slightly. I yeah.
This one's a lot harder. Next clue.
There's a lady who's
sure. Cares. Heaven.
Is the right answer. I couldn't give you Life After Death because it was not specific to heaven.
Because you got, what was that? One Step Closer to Heaven by S Club Juniors.
Oh, yes, it was. I found a reason to play that on the radio.
I feel exceptionally bad that I knew that, but
yeah, I have
Stairway to Heaven and whatever the first song was.
That was Locked Out of Heaven by Bruno Mars. Anyone want to guess at what the fourth clue was going to be?
Belinda Carlisle.
No.
Because
she's been a Game of Geeks clue before.
Eurythmics. not Eurythmics.
I went with Tavares.
Okay, I'm dancing again.
Yeah.
Despite my post-frying sweatiness.
Yes.
I can still boogie.
You know, it's radio. You don't have to mention the sweatiness.
Anyway.
I'd like people to be able to picture it.
Yes. Heaven,
picture the sweat.
Heaven must be missing an angel is the fourth clue. I did load up Belinda Carlisle. Ooh, baby, do you know that's what... But she's been a Game of Geeks clue before, so I just
have a button
it.
Here. I can turn it off if you play Belinda again.
Anyway.
Right.
Clue question number three. Here we go. Fingers
right,
on buzzers.
Come on.
Kez is going for a guess.
Songs that have someone going woohoo in them.
I'm afraid not. Oh, again, that would be a great round, wouldn't
would
it?
They?
No, it's nothing to do with that, despite the fact that that is that. Yeah. Next clue. That was quick. Kez.
Walking.
Is the right answer.
Oh. so did
in.
You have 500 miles in there?
No.
Oh.
Must be walk. No.
Walking on sunshine.
Yeah.
I considered it. But that's been a Game of Geeks clue before in the series.
Okay. Right, okay.
So I went
walking
with...
Walking in Memphis.
Yes! Good guess.
Nicely done. You know how much I like
that. Is there a song that's like Walking on the Moon or something? Is that a thing?
Walking on the Moon. That was a Sting song?
I don't know. I went with Nancy Sinatra.
Oh, please make it walking.
Course. Where you shouldn't
have been a mess.
Of course.
Good track. But anyway, coming in after two clues, Kez gets 3 points there. Well done. Final
music
question.
Well, this makes
question.
A change. Last series, you were all over me.
Yeah.
All right.
This one's a bit harder, but see if you can spot the connection. Fingers on buzzers. Here's the first clue. Kez.
I'm going to go with New Things.
New Things. No. quite frankly, no. All right, here's the next clue then. You got me begging you for mercy. Why won't you release me? You got me begging you for mercy. Why won't you release me?
Now I'm confused. Just rocking out to this one.
Yep.
If I had a lighter, I'd be waving it.
Oh, yeah. I'm not getting this, though.
No, but I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next one.
Last clue coming in now. Diamonds are forever.
Sparkling rounds.
Did you just get it, Catherine?
I don't know.
Shiny things.
Shiny things is not the answer, I'm afraid. I am going to throw it over to Catherine for a bonus point.
I'm not sure. I was going to go with like... No, I don't know.
All right. The answer to that one is Wales. All of those singers are from Wales.
Oh!
So we heard from the band Feeder, Buck Rogers. That was the first one. Mm-hmm. Duffy singing Mercy. Bonnie Tyler and Shirley Bassey.
Had no idea all of them were Welsh.
All
in fact, I had no idea any of them were Welsh, I'll be honest with you.
Well, there you go. We learn something new every day.
I knew Shirley was.
But at the end of round one, that puts Kez in the lead with 8 points.
Yay!
Now we move on to the WikiHow round, which is a celebration of collaborative shared knowledge on the internet. Did you know, for example, that it was I who let the dogs out?
Ah.
True story. Yes, this is, okay, this is the round in which I get Kez and Catherine to guess what I'm doing when I follow a guide from the website, which in its article entitled How to Clean Pine Pitch from Your Skin features what I have now decided is my favourite sentence in the English language, and I quote, cleaning hands with peanut butter.
Okay.
Fun times. This is Wiki How Do You Like Me Now? So... there are three steps to this one. Tell me what I'm trying to do. You'll get 2 points if you get the nail on the head or 1 point if you're in the right general area. Number one, use a fine-toothed comb. Number two, apply styling gel to the hair. Number three, shave your head. Kez.
How to create a wig.
It's not quite there. I'll give you a point if Catherine can't be more accurate.
Okay, I was going to guess something so far away from that. But now I've no idea what to do.
What were you going to suggest?
I was going to say, like, get rid of nits.
Yeah, I was saying that with the first one, but then it was apply hair gel. I'm like, you don't do that to get rid
of
nits.
Well, they might not like it, you know? It might be a way of trapping it in the hair so that when you shave it off, you don't, like, release nits everywhere.
Are you gonna go with that? Or
yeah, because it makes so much sense in my brain, even though it's completely not right.
Gets you 2 points. because
Hell.
That is how to get rid of lice with products at home is the title of the article.
I see.
That was from a section titled Using Hair Care Products and Nitpicking. They don't like styling gel, as it turns out. There's also a wonderful quote from that article where it says, so shave your head was one of the suggestions. The quote says, while you or your child might not like being bald, it's only temporary and it's a quick and simple solution to a lice infestation. The same way burning your house down is a quick and simple solution to getting rid of spiders.
Yeah, but your house doesn't grow back.
True.
Well, your house doesn't grow back.
Oh, fine.
Anyway.
Just because I have a rubbish house.
Yep.
As we move into the final round, Kez is still on 8 points, but Catherine is slowly bringing up the rear with two. Now it's the wild card round, and this is a round I call Search Me. This is based on an XKCD comic from January 2008 entitled Dangers, in which Randall Monroe lists dangerous things by the number of Google results for died in a blank accident. Today, for instance, there are 516,000 Google results for died in a blogging accident. So I'm going to give you some categories and read out some members of those categories, and I want you to tell me the winner. There are 2 points for each correct answer. You both get to guess.
So which one has more results on Google?
Well, given the criteria I tell you. So the first one is best chocolate bar by number of Twitter followers. And your options are Kit Kat, Aero, or Dairy Milk. Kez?
Kit Kat.
Is correct.
Ah.
2 points to Kez there. That has 365,000 followers on the official Kit Kat Twitter account.
Not bad.
Dairy Milk has 306,000 and Aero has 120.
Not bad.
120,000, 120.
As it should be.
Well, opinions. The next one, best monument by number of Google results. Is it the Colosseum in Rome, the Great Pyramid of Giza, or the Eiffel Tower? Catherine.
The pyramid.
Is not correct, I'm afraid. Kez, do you want to guess?
Eiffel Tower.
Is right.
See, that was my first thought, but then I thought, no, nobody in France is going to have a sense of humour.
I'll give you one bonus point there for that. Fair enough. Yeah, the Eiffel Tower gets 56.3 million Google results. The Great Pyramid of Giza, only 1.01 million. The Colosseum, 33.8 million.
I suppose the pyramids being older doesn't necessarily mean they have more Google results.
True.
You know.
No, Google was invented after all of those things
were built.
Okay,
number three, most hated UK mobile network by number of Google results for the phrase network sucks. So I've not even read you the options yet.
I'm hoping for an extra point.
I might give you one depending on how I feel.
Vodafone.
Is correct.
It was always going to
it
be.
It was always
going to
be.
That would have been my first guess too.
I will give you the bonus point for that one. 3 points there,
yeah.
Catherine. 2,570 Google results for Vodafone sucks. Second place. Any guesses?
O2.
It's EE, actually.
Oh, interesting.
1,690. 814 results for O2 sucks out of there.
814?
Yeah.
That's not very many.
I was surprised as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, O2 is also, you know, O2, not just a phone network.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes, it is. You know, oxygen
sucks.
I know, right?
I hate breathing. Honestly, right. Next,
somebody must be allergic to it.
Next category: best pop punk band by number of Facebook likes.
Ooh.
Your options are on likes on the official page for the band. Your options are Paramore, Fall Out Boy, or Blink 182. Cares.
Blink 182.
Is not the right answer.
Oh, I was thinking because they've been around a bit longer.
I was going to say Fall Out Boy.
Also not right, I'm afraid, Catherine. The answer is Paramore.
I suppose more emos do have Facebook.
Well, so it seems. 26.3 million people like the Paramore page on Facebook. 10.4 million like Blink-182 and 9.5 million like Fall Out Boy.
You know how I first heard about Paramore? It's because that was the only song I could beat on Guitar Hero when that game first came out.
Nice.
Intriguing.
Yep.
Final one in this round then. Best pet by number of Amazon results for the name of the pet.
Okay.
Your options are dog, cat, or horse. Kez?
Cat.
Is the right answer. There are.
I mean, it is obviously. The right answer.
Yeah.
Yes. Is the right answer according to Amazon as well. There are 752,000 results on Amazon, 752,000 products that come up if you search for cat, 677,000 if you search for dog, and 306,000 if you search for horse.
I had cats once. They're amazing.
I'm going to give you 2 bonus points, because it's not really going to change the scores, if you can guess this as well. Best Geekly presenter by number of Google results for one of our first names. Kez.
Catherine, you've got the most common first name out of the three of us.
But it's got a weird spelling.
It does have a weird
spelling.
But
then there was Catherine Hepburn, which was about
There was
way.
Catherine Hepburn. You're right, there was.
But Skyler, you were a character in Breaking Bad. So.
I was a character in Breaking Bad.
And you had a whole, and you had a whole movie made about Kez.
Yeah, but different spelling of the name.
Well,
yeah, but
Kes Troll.
Yeah, but Kes was still the name.
All right, so you didn't use my full name. Fine.
No, because that brought up about 4 results, and most of them were your website. Or but so,
as if you'd googled anyway. Catherine Robinson, you'd have got a Highland dancing teacher in Canada.
Indeed, I did. Very interesting it was. Mm. But that's not the answer, I'm afraid, Kes. The winner is, in terms of Google results, you, because of the film.
You get,
if you search for Kez on Google, you get 92.3 million results. Catherine, spelled the way you spell it, with 2 A's and a K, 46.9 million results. And Skylar, despite being Heisenberg's wife, brings in 34.6 million Google results.
Well, there you go.
So, at the end of Game of Geeks, I think we know that which way this has gone, but with an impressive 12 points to 5... Take it away, Hattie.
This week's winner is... Kez!
Oh, grazie, well done. Grazie. I'm very
well
excited.
Done.
That puts you on 4 shows now. So yeah, Catherine, it is still possible for you to win if you win every show from
now
on.
At Series 5 of the Geekly Chronicles, Catherine completely trounced me at Game of Geeks. So Series 6 is my series.
Yes.
That's not going to stop me from compulsively reading WikiHow.
Yeah.
For the next,
I have a life, so I'm not going to do that.
For the next 10 weeks.
You're a loser. You can.
Yeah, I'm a loser. I can do that.
In an attempt to put a stop to this trash talk, shall we check in with the results of Would You Fund It?
Yes. Yeah, go for it. I was just checking in with the chat room to see what people were doing. But yeah, how is Would You Fund It going?
With a thumb.
We're coming up to the end of the show, so we need to check in on it.
Well, the results are Hand of Kit Kat... is funded.
Yay!
75% of the audience tonight would fund a regular 4-finger Kit Kat, but with an extra half-length, double-thick thumb.
That's
so well done.
Would You Fund It? Right there.
Yes, it is.
Indeed it is. So thank you very much, Pip, for sending that in. We will be sending you out a Geekly merch bundle to say thank you for sending in an idea. And don't forget, you yourselves, the listeners, can send in your ideas and also get a Geekly merch bundle if we pick yours. Just go to gkly.co/fundit and click the submit button.
It's good merch, Brent.
It is good merch.
What's in there? A mug, a t-shirt, some stickers. You get a Geekly tote bag.
It's quite exciting, really.
Yeah, everything, basically. It's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the stuff.
Do send your ideas in gkly.co/fundit. Click submit and tell us what you think we should spend our fictional money on.
Fictional money.
Fictional money.
I'm often wondering what I should spend my Monopoly money on.
Yes.
Indeed.
thank you to everyone who's been in the chat room tonight chatting along with the show. Special shout out goes to those people who have been exchanging some strong opinions around some of the contents of our guest and the guest's request there. So that's it's been a very interesting conversation.
Mm.
Thank you to Bongella for suggesting that we deep fry some stuff. Thank you.
It was good.
Misty, the 14th Doctor, for not Misty, comma, the 14th Doctor, Misty and the 14th Doctor in the chat room for...
Although, yeah. If Misty does turn out to be the 14th Doctor...
I'd be impressed.
I'd be on board with that. I'd watch that.
And Bongella in the chat room says, can I buy a mug? Heading back to work and need a new mug? Yes!
You can.
Yeah.
You can go to store.tinykettle.com, that being the production company that makes this show. And
buy all that much.
Yeah.
Buy all of it.
Buy all
t-shirt,
of our stuff.
Mug, all that stuff. Ah, well, there we go.
Yeah, whew, what a show. I think it's almost time that we say goodbye.
I think it is.
We're back for our next episode in 2 weeks' time on Friday the 28th of July. Exciting.
By which time I will have found a way to make a Kit Kat hand and have it flawlessly deep fried.
I will have found a shark to eat it before you can.
Yeah.
And I will be resting in the comfortable certainty that the next Doctor on Doctor Who is not going to be another white dude.
Yes, hoping.
We can hope.
But until then, from me, Gez.
From me, Catherine.
And me, Skylar.
Goodbye!
Bye.
Good night and bon voyage.
You've been listening to the Geekly Chronicles. Content was beamed down to the planet's surface, then brought back in a shuttlecraft by Kestrel Guyon, Skylar MacDonald, and Catherine Robinson, who were also your hosts for today's show. This episode's special guest was William Hansen. The Geekly Chronicles is a Tiny Kettle production. Any reference to persons living or dead will not result in their regeneration. Pull to open, use setting 15B to triangulate the source of ghosts, and don't distract someone when they're trying to resonate concrete.